Today on Real Life Radio.
Oh, I accepted the Lord last week, but I got mad at my dog, and then I went 55 and a 35. I've sinned, and I'm going to go to hell until I get back to church next week and get born again. No, you know, that's not how it works. You don't lose your salvation. He's working with you all the way through. He's working with us to the end.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Evidence. Our world demands it. We want evidence for the Bible, evidence for Jesus. And in our infinite cry for the truth, we want proof that God is real and Jesus is who He said He is. It's why we're so excited to make available for you our current featured resource. It's called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World. It's by Josh and Sean McDowell. A trailblazer for truth, Josh McDowell has been at the forefront of cultural trends and groundbreaking ministry for over five decades. Now, together with his son Sean, they've completely updated and expanded a modern classic for a new generation. The McDowells will provide you with insightful responses to the Bible's most difficult and misused passages. Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World by Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now with his series called The Book of Philippians, continues with a message called Until We Cross the Finish Line. You know, the Book of Philippians is a virtual roadmap for the Christian life. Paul first describes his past religious achievements, and then he's going to reveal his present-day challenges as he looks toward the future to see what God has in store for him. You see, there were a lot of changes that came against the Christian believers in Philippi. But in the midst of it all, Paul lays bare the unquenchable passion for every true believer to become more like Jesus Christ every day until we cross that finish line from this world into eternity. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there is both a practical and a positional type of Christianity. To be set apart in the practical is seeing the lifelong hour-by-hour, moment-by-moment work of God in our lives. Positional Christianity is the moment God has secured our salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, with his message called Until We Cross the Finish Line, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
He was a young man, heir to a mega-million empire, had everything in front of him. Had what in front of him? I ask you this morning, had what in front of him? This is how God works beyond our comprehension. See, you and I do the scorecard with, well, how much are you worth? What are your, collectively, cash on hand, assets, what are you worth? And we write that up in a paper, and we somehow think that that is our value. This is what I'm worth. Think of that for a moment. What was Borden worth? Well, it depends on who you're asking. If you ask God, who can make Jupiter into gold if he wanted to, you think God needs financial support? You think God needs help? Well, you guys had an offering here a moment ago, didn't you? You think God needs our money? God doesn't need our money, and he doesn't need your money. And if you're grumbling about giving God back his money, you keep your money. He doesn't need us. He lets us. Big difference. It's like trying to mow the lawn with your kid. You ever trying to mow your lawn with a three-year-old? They want to mow the lawn. You know this, what normally takes 20 minutes is going to take 2 hours now. But he lets us. And so the world, in their estimation, said Borden lost it all. What a tragedy. What a wasted young life. Did you know that God asked him to go to China? God didn't say, I want you to build a 10-foot-high totem pole or an empire. I'm not asking you to build a church. I'm not asking you to save 10,000 people. He said, go to China. He got to China and he died. Are you willing to receive the fact that God's ways are beyond your ability to comprehend? And so he writes, no regrets. I want you to write at the end of your life, no regrets. You may be very valuable on paper and a complete loser when it comes to eternal things. This world and the kingdoms of this world will come to an end. And only that which has been done for Jesus will matter. And listen, it's not so much that you acquire marks in your belt of things you've done for Jesus. That's never what he asked. He simply asked this, are you willing? It's beyond our comprehension. And Paul says, I have not even come close. A lot of people today, I'm kind of sick of it actually. You look around the web and all the trash that's out there in the internet world. Don't you sometimes wish for a massive EMP bomb to go off? Fry all the electronics of the world. How cool would that be? I think it'd be awesome. But you read stuff online about, in fact, go ahead and Google this. World's most successful pastors or most successful pastors or preachers in America. Most of those guys that appear on the list, I wouldn't allow them to clean out my garage. Afraid they might steal something. My point is this, who makes up this list? That's like those fact check websites. Fact check says no to that. Who are you guys? Right? Well, you know what Wikipedia says. And then Wikipedia posts up there, we have limited information on the topic we're talking about. If you can add to it, that'd be great. Oh, fantastic. A friend of mine is on Wikipedia, and she said, I never even put that stuff up on Wikipedia. They did it. It's not even true stuff. I'm talking about Brigitte Gabriel. Watch out what you read. Successful pastor, preachers, Christian workers. Well, we better be careful, because if I'm reading the Apostle Paul right, he says, I've not attained. Because if Paul came up here today, if he pulled up in his big black donkey and he got out of it, he wouldn't be driving a big black donkey. He'd pull up in a little, I don't know what. He'd walk in here, you wouldn't even recognize him except that. Who's that guy over there taking out the trash can? Who's that guy over there who's doing the windows? Or who's that guy over there praying with that old lady or that young boy? Who's that guy? He would just be loving on people. And then you would say, well, who is this? That's Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle, get a piece of paper. I want him to sign my Bible. Did you know he won't do that? He wouldn't do it. This guy is honestly, truly humble. You say, Jack, how can that be? He achieved so much. He never saw it. He never looked at it that way. It never registered to him. To be like that is to say, check, got that one. What's this one? Do that, check, mark that box. Next one, mark that box. There was no real communication flowing out of his life towards other people. Oh, not true about Paul. No, Paul never looked, he never checked the boxes. He just did what Jesus told him to do. He was willing. Imagine getting up every morning and say, Lord, here I am, send me. You may say, well, it's easy for you to say or for that guy to say, but I work at Raytheon. I got to drive to L.A. Hey, until God prevents you from driving to Raytheon in L.A., you ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do today at Raytheon? Are you open? Let God determine our success, not what the internet says. And when somebody's really being used by God, I think they're going to carefully communicate, it's really God. There's a guy on TBN said, next week I'm going to be bringing you a message that you've got to hear. I'm quoting now, you can Google this later. I'm going to be bringing you a message next week. It is the greatest message I've ever given. Now that may be true, it may be the greatest message he's ever given. I don't know, I don't listen to him. You won't believe this. Go look it up. He said, I'm going to be bringing that message to you from the Holy Land, and it is on humility. It's the greatest message I've ever given. Do you hear something there? It's the greatest message I've ever preached. What is it on? Humility. How to be humble and how I attained it. Do you hear that? Paul would have been gagging in the corner. Paul says, I've not attained to that. Just want you to know, I've not attained to that. Quoting Bible verses do not make maturity a reality in our life. It's not preaching sermons or leading people to Christ. Those are things. Have I personally experienced Jesus Christ on the inside? Paul is saying, and allow me to paraphrase it, I want all of you to know that at Philippi, that I have not yet arrived at being at the level of Christian I ought to be like. That's what he's saying. So church, the reason why this message cannot be finished in all these three verses today is this, and I appreciate if you'd write this down. This is sweet business, in my opinion. This introduces us to the doctrine of practical and positional sanctification. Big words that we need to know. There's practical sanctification and there's positional sanctification that's revealed to us in the Bible. To be sanctified simply means this, that God takes us from something and places us to or toward something. If you go to World Market and you buy two salt and pepper shakers, they're sanctified. It's their property. The moment you buy those little salt and pepper shakers and take them home, they are now sanctified to your home. Are you with me? They were taken from one place and placed in another by your will. God does that to us in life. He has a revealed purpose for you. God does this. Look at it this way. There are two windows that we can look at this sanctification through. Number one, it's that we would see a lifelong, listen everybody, does this speak to you? That you and I would see in window number one, a lifelong, day by day, moment by moment, desire in your heart, a nonstop commitment to apply your life to Jesus, to live for Jesus. When you're doing your taxes, when you're eating your food, when you're driving, in leisure, and at work, it's constant. If you can hear my voice right now, and you in your heart go, I know this, he won't let me go. Jesus will not let me go. He's in every moment of my thought. In fact, to prove it, this is an interesting thing. Have you ever been so engrossed in what you're doing? Let's say it's a project at work and it's been hours and you're trying to get that math problem or you're trying to get that thing to work or you're working on that deal and this thing and you're going and you're working and you're working and you're working and everything's above board. You're all good. It's all fine. I'm not talking about you're sinning. I'm talking about you're working. Or it could be a sporting event or whatever. It doesn't matter. You're so focused. And then when the attention breaks for a moment, the thought comes in your mind, oh, I'm a believer in Jesus. The Lord's on his throne. Oh, God, you're awesome. And you just go right back to it. Have you ever had that happen? You know why? Because you're his. You've been brought out of this world and he's placed you into his world. And there's no separation. We may be here with our feet, but our hearts and our minds and our citizenship's in heaven. He may be enthroned in heaven above, but the Holy Spirit is indwelling each of us who are followers of his. And that practical sanctification, that window number one, if we're looking at it, is something that goes on to the day you and I die, and we will never be finished until we die. That's why death for the believer is the great release. To think of the power and the glory that awaits us. But then there's window number two. So through window number two, we see why window number three affects our lives. So window number one is that day-to-day, practical, lifelong living with God, we would say. Walking in the light, the Bible puts it. We would say following Jesus. But window number two is a positional sanctification. See, what is that? Positional, listen, is your spreadsheet. Can I use your file, your name, your account? You? In heaven. Positionally, you're in heaven. Practically, we're here right now. practically. We're living with each other right now. How we talk, how we live, how we serve, what we do, daily basis, positionally. What makes practical Christianity real? This window number two. It's that we are positionally secured in heaven. We are living out the reality of God's work here and now, warts and all. This is why, listen, please listen. And again, only the believer can interpret what I'm going to say here now. Don't let anyone judge you. They're not authorized. They just don't have it. They may be very sincere about it. You know, Jack, I've been thinking and praying. I think you ought to. Thank you. That's very sweet of you. I mean, you do care, and that's very nice. Thank you. You just have to understand something. In your life, God is the one you answer to. Let God tell you what to do. Now, if you're a Christian and you're not listening, he has his ways of getting your attention. And by the way, most often it's not through people. It's directly through him. He'll get your attention. But let him speak to you. And he does that work in us and with us. And he'll remind you, Jack, you're one of my boys. When this is all done, you come and be with me. Listen. Because this is all true, Jack, because I'm speaking to you from heaven, and I've put heaven in your heart, my Holy Spirit possesses you. Trust me when I ask you to do this or that. And you obey. And you'll see. Positionally, listen, you and I are living our lives from a positional sanctification. That's why the Bible says that God has declared us holy. You say, man, I don't know about that. He's declared us holy. Positionally, you are holy before God. Did you know that before God, the only thing that he is concerned about now is that when you and I sin, we have our fellowship muddied up. Our fellowship with God is interrupted. You know, it has nothing to do with salvation. Did you know that? Oh, I accepted the Lord last week, but I got mad at my dog, and then I went 55 and a 35. I've sinned, and I'm going to go to hell until I get back to church next week and get born again. No, you know, that's not how it works. You got saved last week, and when you blew it this week, you sinned. You ask God, Lord, forgive me, I sinned. And the communication line, the internet is beefed up. You got a new connection. You got all four bars. You don't lose your salvation. He's working with you all the way through. He's working with us to the end. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Hebrews 10:10 says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Look at it, past tense, have been sanctified. Y'all see that? Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. There's the word teleo again. Being sanctified. So which one is it? Both of them. In heaven, your name is written down. There's a seat reserved for you. Somebody say amen. Thank you. Hallelujah, right? By the way, God doesn't cancel reservations. You ever done that? I just had that this week. I need this car, rental car. Oh, in the tap. Seems like we gave you, there's no cars. This happened to me last week. I reserved this 6 months ago. What do you mean there's no cars? And they go, all of our cars are gone. They've been. So why did you take my reservation? Reserve? Reserve. Not asking much. You said you would reserve a car. Gotta go. We don't have any cars. Then what are you in this business for? What's the use of a reservation if you can't keep it? Can you imagine? Oh, heart attack. That's okay, I'm a believer. Boom, you're down, you're dead. You appear before the pearly gates. Peter's out there with his laptop. What's your name? Jack. I don't see Jack. Well, I have a reservation. I don't know. Let me check. There's no room, no name. Not good. God keeps his reservations. He keeps them. He is committed. Listen, God the Father has a deal with Jesus Christ. The transaction is between the Father and the Son. The guarantor of the promise is the Father and the Son. And the Father looks upon the sacrifice, the once and for all sacrifice of Christ, and applies all the benefits of what Jesus did to you and I. This is called salvation. And as sweet as it is, listen, it's not what the apostle's talking about. He's not talking about, I have not yet attained salvation. He's saying, that's old news. Man, that's done. We're moved way beyond that. That salvation thing, that's settled. I'm talking about spiritual strength, development, and maturity now. I'm talking about what you build on top of your salvation. Paul says, I have not attained the very things for which Christ called me to do for the very purpose of my life. Please listen, don't respond. Do you feel that way? Do you judge your soul now on the inside? Do you sense this often? I have not yet accomplished that thing that God has called me to live for. Do you ever feel that way? I hope and pray you do. In those moments where you just pause and there's a sense of, I've not yet completed. There are books and libraries where you can read of stories of great believers who have gone before us, who for however reasons they figured it out, how it was told to them, I don't know. We know Peter said this, we know Paul said this, but they also said things like this, I have finished the course, I've kept the faith, I'm done. In a week or a month later, they're dead. How is that? They walked with Jesus to the point and to the extent of surrender that they discerned in their spirit that the Lord had said to them, well done. I'm convinced in life that God will not only say that on the day of judgment for you and I hope and pray, right? But that he must also leak that email to us in advance. A lot of believers sense, I'm finished now. Not, I'm finished. It's, mission accomplished. I think there's nothing left for me to do. And you go alongside the bed of a saint at the hospital or at home, and you say, have they told you? Sometimes families call us to do this. Have they told you? What? You're dying. You know, because family, it's tough for family. You know, he doesn't feel well. He doesn't feel well, he's dying. I don't know if he's going to make it to Christmas. I don't think he's going to make it to the end of the week. You have to tell people. You need to get your family on the phone. Stop playing games. Does he need to settle any accounts? Does anybody need to settle any accounts with him? Get them on the phone. Get them here now. Get them to get a flight. Get them to get on the car. Get now. Listen, now. Let's go. And it's amazing because the person laying in bed who knows Jesus, this is what they go. It's like, thank you. Thank you for telling them. I knew this already. They know they're going. There's only one thing that you'll hear from a believer when they're on their deathbed. When it comes to regrets, unlike Borden, they'll say, I wish I would have listened to God more. Or how about this? I wish I would have taken more risk for the kingdom. I played it safe. We don't need to live like that.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with a message called Until We Cross the Finish Line. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message today is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to remind us that praying and trusting in God for everything will bring about a peace in your life that passes all understanding. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, we don't always understand what God's doing, but the Bible tells us that one day we will. The question is, do we know God personally? Many believe there's a God and that he's powerful, but having faith in God is to know and understand that he cares about you immensely. God's power could force obedience, but instead, he gives us the freedom to choose to come to him through our own free will. So, if you're wondering what that means to have a personal relationship with God, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll learn about things like how our sin is separating us from God and how God has made a way through His Son Jesus Christ to get right with Him. Again, it's that tab labeled Know God, and it's there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.